win, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? It's Taliban Akshay here, and welcome to episode 14 of TERP, or also known as the Untitled Raptors podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Let's get to it, guys. Akshay, what's up? What's happening, man?
We played hockey today, which we should probably not mention because we got our butt whooped. Talib got very mad.
I get mad.
We played like
crap, you know, like it's ridiculous. Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I think we lost 7-1 or 7-0. We had one goal.
It was 11-1.
It was 11-1? Oh my God. I stopped counting after like 6, I think. And I was like, oh, 11-1. Oh boy.
Yeah, so yeah. It was not good.
I think I was on for like only 2 goals. Akshay was on for like 9.
So. No. I was. In fact, the first line got scored against. I was only on for 3 of them, I think.
Let's just blame it on someone else. Yeah, let's just blame it on other people.
First line.
We're not first line material.
Yeah.
It got heated. What else did you do this weekend, man?
I played basketball at LA Fitness yesterday, and I made an observation, which is not really an observation, that everybody wants to play full court, but really all they do is run between the three-point line and jack up threes. So they're playing half court anyways.
They're playing the James Harden. No, not even the James Harden. This is almost like the Lance Stevenson offense.
Yeah, they just
stay in the full court. I mean, that's decent offense, right? If you don't go back, if you have 5 players just willing to do that, then the entire thing becomes like a half court offense game.
Yeah. They just jack up a three, run to the 3-point line on the other side, play defense there, jack up a three. I was like, man, I was thinking, I get why everybody plays like that, because the NBA is like that now, and it's sexy to shoot threes. But I wonder what pickup ball was like in the 1990s, like when the big man was dominating and everybody wanted to be like, you know, Patrick Ewing or Hakeem Olajuwon. Was there actually post moves? Because I think if you play pickup ball now, you may see one up and under move in like 2 hours. Yeah, maybe
you see a lot of like shooting, like just random 3-point shooting a lot now. That's the weird part. Like a random unnecessary shoot. Like everyone thinks they're Steph Curry. That I've seen a lot more now.
That's
the whole thing about. But it's like it depends, right? I mean, the problem with pickup basketball is that the whole play they don't have that many plays set up as well. So I'd love to play basketball with like a proper team so you can actually get the full flow of the game going. So did you get scored on?
I mean, no, everybody gets scored on. No, I didn't get dunked on. Nobody's athletic enough to dunk in that.
This is LA Fitness. LA Fitness is like known for this kind of stuff. Like just like
no.
Fit people there. That's all it is. Fit people and Instagram wannabe stars there.
Yeah. But they're all short, so they're fine. Nobody dunked on anybody. But there were some good players. It's just the game is like so back and forth and just jacking up threes. It's not super fun to play other than just going and getting your cardio in.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What else did you do? Anything crazy?
No, I didn't do anything crazy this weekend. Got a haircut.
I watched Captain Marvel. I got to say this.
Was it good?
It was marvelous. Get it? It was marvelous.
I feel like you were planning that one. But okay.
I've been planning it for a long time. I was like, Captain Marvel was marvelous. It was really good. Really well done. Also, tip. Imagine Cinemas in Richmond Hill, $11, and you get a fully recliner seat, and you don't have to wait in line. What a deal!
Is the screen big like in Cineplexes though?
Huge screen. No issues with the screen. Huge screen, but it's a fantastic deal. The way they keep the money down is they don't have any attendants to buy the tickets. So it's pretty good. They took all the attendants. So it's just basically like you pay whatever it is. There's no one working there. You just have to – you can buy online or you can buy like using your credit card. They removed all the attendants.
There's no attendants. Wow.
No attendants. There was literally no attendants. There was just credit card machines there. So that's the future, right?
That's the future. Back. McDonald's has like got like 2 people working the counters now.
That's right, man.
Every one of them has the screens.
Yeah, that's because we want $1 chicken McNuggets. That's what it is. We want cheaper food. You want our junior chickens to be a lot cheaper.
My junior chickens were cheaper in university. They are now expensive.
Yeah,
junior chicken small fries used to be $2.92.
A lot
in university.
A lot different. But yeah,
now we Yeah, so we've broken the $3 barrier on the junior chicken and small fries now.
There you go.
It's unfortunate. Anything else you did?
No, nothing else. Everything else pretty good. Life's good. Let's get to ball.
Let's get to basketball. All right, let's start with some likes and dislikes.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
All right, so likes and dislikes. We had three games this week. The Raptors went 2-1, just like we predicted, except the ones that we predicted that they would lose, they didn't lose. So we're not that good. So Houston at Toronto. Toronto ended up losing that game by quite a bit. My dislike was minus 30, minus 30, minus 16, minus 22, and minus 15, which was the plus minus for the bench. And my like was the starters. Like, the starters played great. They basically cleaned up the bench's mess every time they went in. How about you?
So my like was... Okay, my dislike, obviously, same as you. Garbage bench. Exactly the same stats you mentioned. The bench was like almost a liability. You put them in there and you're just like annoyed by them. What I liked was the comeback. My emotions were all... Kyle Lowry, three-pointer, it was good. It's a different style. So I watched the game again. I only watched James Harden's play. And we contained James Harden really well. I thought we played him really well. The way Kyle Lowry, if you notice, guards Harden. And when he's going to contest a shot, he doesn't contest a shot like everyone else. He's trying to block it. Watch the shots in that sense. He's like swinging his arms out. Like it's like a weird thing. Like people just put their hand up to block it. No, he's like swinging that thing. So I don't know. It's an interesting style. It worked for the first like three quarters. And then James Harden went nuts on us.
Yeah, I mean, he made step backs. What are you going to do?
Absolutely. But another like was the emotions. And I'm just opening up our WhatsApp conversation from this day.
And when I was ignoring you.
This is exactly how I want to read it out. At 9:15, all right, this team needs to be destroyed. That's me. What garbage.
This is all like, you, by the way.
This team needs to be destroyed. What garbage. Like, knock PJ Tucker out. PJ Tucker was just guarding everyone. Very annoying. Akshay responds, haha, it's okay, Talib. Dog days of the season. Right? And I message, I can't take this at 9:23. Akshay, the calming influence he is, do not stress. At 9:35, 15 minutes after, I love these Raptors. They are my everything. Heart emoji, heart emoji.
Yeah, that was pretty much the game. That was for any of you remember, that those conversations happen at the end of the second. And then halftime happened, and then Talib said he loves the Raptors in the middle of the third.
Yeah, and it was like, they are my everything. It was like...
It's going to be fun trying to keep Talib calm during the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be difficult. So that was very, very angry. I have no filter half the time. But yeah, so that game was done. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Next game.
Toronto at the Pelicans. My like was... Fast break points, 53 fast break points. That was a 10-year high in the NBA, which is ridiculous. The Raptors are actually a pretty good fast break team. When you have somebody like Pascal Siakam, you're going to be a good fast break team. They average 18, and they scored 53 that day. And my dislike, like, the game was good. The Raps played really well. My dislike was just like the Anthony Davis situation. So Drew is gone for 7 to 10 days. You know, it's March, so you're going to start to see all these stupid injuries kind of pop up on teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. So Drew is gone. Etuan Moore was gone for 7 to 10 days. And then literally 5 minutes before, probably because they don't want to get fined, 5 minutes before the game starts, they go, oh, Anthony Davis, back spasms. Did shoot around, can't play. I was like, okay. This is probably like, they don't want to announce it the day before because the NBA is going to fine them or bug them to play Anthony Davis. But now he went through shoot around and suddenly... he has back spasms.
Okay, well, my question, what's the difference between Anthony Davis not playing and Kawhi Leonard getting load management?
I mean, they're not going to play him for the whole season. That's the thing. Like, since if they had their way, they would just sit him from...
Yeah, okay.
Still going to see Kawhi play in the playoffs when it matters, right?
I guess, yeah. But it's if you take the playoffs out of the equation, I think it's a very similar situation almost in that sense. Yeah, they don't want to play them. Anthony Davis's minutes are being restricted. It's almost like a useless thing in the world, right? So, like, he's playing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Because if at the end of the day, like, they're not playing Anthony Davis to protect an asset. They're not playing Kawhi because they want that asset to perform, right? Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I guess if you look at the optics of that one, absolutely right. Yeah, okay, fair enough. So my like fast game, again, love the fast paced point. The reason why it's a fast the fast paced game was also another interesting. I looked at it. New Orleans Pelicans averages 106 possessions a game. So they play very fast paced offense, right? So their pace is pretty fast. They play an Alvin Gentry style offense, which is like, if you remember from the Phoenix Suns days, it's that 6-second, 7-second offense where they come in, jack three, come back in, like very fast. And the issue is they're not good. When you don't have the players like Anthony Davis or Holiday playing or Etuan Moore who can actually shoot, you're going to shoot garbage shots and you're going to get fast break points right off that. Like that's the ultimate thing, right? So if you're – it's almost fast break points really work well only if you have really good shooters. And it's unfortunate that I would have thought that Gentry would have switched his game up a little bit more just because he knows that Raptors are a decent fast-paced team. But it's also the fact that if you don't have good players performing, you got to switch into a half-court offense and slow the entire game down. But it is what it is. So fast break game, enjoyed that. It was fun to watch. Slow start, though. I think Raptors played out of the levels again. Same thing.
Yeah. But they turned it on in the third. It was fine. Today we had Toronto at Miami. I really liked zone busting with Gasol. So what usually happens in an NBA game is the ball creators are all on the outside of the perimeter for the most part, right? There's a few good centers who can play make, and Gasol is one of them. And so when you put out the zone on a normal team, because of all the ball creators being on the outside, it can work. You know, they can get a shot from the perimeter and miss the shot. But what the Raptors did as soon as the zone came out is they threw the ball into Gasol and he playmate. And he broke it pretty quickly. They got a couple of good plays. I think Pascal Siakam got a floater. And then they just went away from the zone right away because they just kept running the offense through Gasol. And once you're in the middle of the zone, it's much easier to create offense than being on the outside of the zone. So kudos to Nick Nurse for doing that. And kind of one of the reasons you bring in Gasol. And then Kyle Lowry, plus 31 in 35 minutes. That's crazy to have plus 31 in 35 minutes. So he just basically dominated the whole game. My dislike was just the refs calling a tech on Kyle. It's not just really specifically this play, but they've been doing it recently a lot all around the NBA where like people will... I know no NBA player ever thinks they've committed a foul in the history of the NBA. I get it. But just let them blow steam off. And then, because a lot of them now blow steam off running away, right? They go down the court and they run away. And still, because you're too demonstrative, you still will get a tech. And it's pretty crazy that they keep calling these techs on really nothing.
Yeah, so like I absolutely agree with that. I think I was watching the Milwaukee game a couple of days ago, and Giannis got, I think it was Milwaukee versus, I don't know who it was. I think it was Indiana, I want to say. I think it was Indiana. And obviously they were pretty close, back and forth, and then Giannis got a tech. And this guy went nuts. This guy got like a tech, and you felt like you unleashed like a Super Saiyan Dragon Ball Z kind of player. Like he went berserk. Right, so it was pretty interesting to see in that sense. So yeah, absolutely a lot of text, unnecessary text calling in the game as well. So my dislike was very simple. I think the refereeing was really poor. Like some of the calls, like we got way too many cheap calls on that on both ends of the floor. So it was what I liked, and I'm gonna give a shout out to OG Anunoby. The guy played well. The guy played really well. Made his free throws, but also exactly the reason why I've been saying about Gasol is a perfect fit. The cuts that he made. He made a lot of cuts from Gasol to Lin. And that's the type of game that's going to work really well when you're playing in the second unit. Cutting offense, not pull-up jump shooting, whatever it is. You got to be able to make those quick cuts. And Gasol and Lin were doing their job really well. So good game to watch in that sense.
I'm just thinking, I never have thought of an OG game has been good without him making a three, but I thought today he played well and he didn't make a three.
No, he played really well. He played really well.
Yeah, good and he didn't make a three, so that was good. Okay, Talib, tell him who we're sponsored by.
We all have bad days throughout the year. Some days it's like Jeremy Lin's shooting or just being Rajon Rondo sitting on that bench. If you're having a bad day, it's okay. We all go through it. It's about how you get back up. And for some cases, it's about getting on your feet and getting that confidence back. After a horrible week where Akshay got his ankles crossed at basketball, was a negative 10 in hockey. He got some solid pictures to make sure his confidence isn't too shaken. Ladies and gents, he still looks fab, and with the help of our friends at Tinder Photography, he's beaming out there ready to go. This is the time to get new photos and get that bright smile and confidence flowing. Please contact us at tinderphotography.ca.
Wow. I should screen these messages before you read them out.
What?
I feel like this is like the seventh one where I've gotten my photos taken.
No. I have not used you at all in this thing at all. I brought you into this very late in the game.
Maybe not in the message, but into the prelude of the message or the post of the message. Yeah. You have brought me into it.
I apologize for that.
So Talib has brought me definitely up before the message taking photos and definitely after, but maybe you're right. You haven't actually used me in the message.
No, this is new. This is absolutely first. 100%, 100%. Also, quick caveat. Who is the most overpaid player in the league right now? Quick answer, quick.
Overpaid? Yeah, overpaid. Man, I don't know. Chandler Parsons.
Okay, I'm going with Tyler Johnson.
No. Okay, Tyler Johnson's playing. Isn't he playing?
He's playing. He averages 4 points a game. The Phoenix Suns make so much. Okay, anyway, let's go back. The reason I say that is because the Golden State Warriors and Phoenix Suns were playing in the background, and I remember seeing Tyler Johnson. I was like, holy crap, this guy got a lot of money from Miami to do nothing.
I know. Miami signed a bunch of okay players to like $12 million contracts. Yeah, that's their whole roster.
I think it was the year after LeBron left, right? So they got Luol Deng, and they did all this like, unnecessary.
James
stuff.
Johnson, they signed too much money.
James Tyler Johnson didn't even play today. Was he injured?
I know. He's hurt. He needs a haircut, though. Wow. Did you see his hair? God.
I did not see that, but I didn't. I was like, I thought James Johnson plays for this team, but I guess he was. He's hurt. Okay.
You probably did see him. You just didn't recognize him because he's got the biggest afro in the NBA right now.
Oh, man. He's a straight up G now, man.
He's a G now. All right. Let's do some agree or disagree.
I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't womanize. I only raptorize. But I am an addict.
Okay. So we haven't done agree or disagree in a couple weeks, I think. So I'm going to, the way it works, I read out a statement. Talib either agrees or disagrees with the statement. And then we just, banter on and off about it. Okay. So the Raptors will get 60 wins. That means they need to go 12-3. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with that.
You don't think so? What do you think they're going to get?
I think they probably go 12-5. Oh, sorry, not 12-5. That doesn't make sense. Probably 10-5 or so. I would think that. The reason I say that is because towards the end of the games, they're facing some tough teams. And I mean tough teams as the teams who are not going to rest their players and play their full potential. I think they're facing Miami once, they're facing Orlando, and they're facing Brooklyn and Detroit, right? So the next, those four teams are competing for playoff spots here. They're pretty in there. They're grinding as well for 6 all the way to 8 in that sense. So those three is going to be tough. And the Raptors, I think we will see Kyle Lowry taking some days off as well. I think it's about time. Kyle Lowry will take a couple of days. Danny Green will take a couple of days. I wouldn't be surprised if they give Pascal a couple of nights off as well.
Yeah. I think we're going to end up around 57, 58 wins too. They also have a home and home with the Thunder. So that's that's probably the best team they're facing.
Yeah, that's going to be the best team. And Thunder have been not doing so well since like February. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay. So the Raptors, this next one, the Raptors' preferred first round matchup is Brooklyn over the Pistons.
Why are you bringing this up, man? I told you, it's like playing with basketball gods.
Okay, fine. Talib's preferred first round matchup.
Yeah, I prefer the Brooklyn over Pistons.
Why do you prefer them?
I think one of the reasons is I think Pistons play a very, very different type of offense. They're slow pace, right? They're one of the slowest in the league. So they play an offense that we can't work on that transition offense. Our go-to is that transition offense, right? We're really good at that fast pace. We do really well. We captivate. Now, if the Pistons play that slow-paced offense, we can't get those fast-paced points, and we're playing into their solid defense. And the solid defense means is you've got Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin on the back end getting those boards. So that's definitely the issue I have. I think Pistons are a very good team, especially in the last little while. They've been on fire. So that's one thing. I think it's just not exactly. I think if you're a Pistons fan, you'd want to face the Raptors over any of the other four. Because
really?
Yeah. I think you want to face the Pistons because I think this is a – Also, I think Dwayne Casey knows the number, knows how the players play, knows how all these, knows our play systems, right? Now, if you think about the plays that the Raptors run right now, it are the plays from last year. The Pistons offense is like basically Raptors offense from 2011 to 2016, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Slow, you know, move the ball around here and there, get the pass. Not exactly high in assists, but they use Drummond and Blake Griffin really well. So I prefer Brooklyn just because Brooklyn is fast and fast paced. And I think you can shut down D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell takes a lot of awful mid-range shots that, fair enough, but I think we can shut them down and get that ball moving a lot more quicker.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you. I think the Dwayne Casey reason I don't want is one of the reasons I don't want the Pistons. Obviously, he knows the players. Not that this roster hasn't had crazy turnover since he coached it, but he knows Kyle well, he knows Pascal well, he knows OG well, he knows Fred well. And the main reason I don't want the Pistons over the Brooklyn is I always want to face the team with the worst better player, if that makes sense. So if I look at their best players on Brooklyn versus Pistons, Brooklyn has D'Angelo Russell, and the Pistons have Blake Griffin, who I argue is having the best year of his career. He just isn't getting any love for it because he's not in Lob City anymore. And so I would rather face D'Angelo Russell versus Blake Griffin. Because Blake Griffin, he's averaging like 25, 8, and 5 on like 59 true shooting this year, which is pretty remarkable. You know, he's actually shooting better from three than Kevin Durant is this year.
Yeah, he's playing really, really well. And that's definitely because I think it's because Detroit doesn't get that much love. It's the unfortunate truth, right?
But we're going to give him some love on Sunday.
I'm not going to give nobody love, man. I'm all Robot Raptors.
We're going to give them some love by spending our cash there.
Yes, that's exactly what we will spend our money there. Contribute to Detroit tourism.
The last agree or disagree. The Lakers have been the most disappointing franchise this season. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with that.
Who do you think is the most fair disappointing?
I think it's the Washington Wizards.
And really? They weren't even in my top three. Yeah,
I think it was the Washington Wizards. I think you expect so much from that team when they came out. It's the same reason every year. Beal, Wall. Beal's amazing. You think Wall was going to be really good as well. So that's one of the reasons they broke down completely, couldn't play with each other, injuries. They had a little bit of an injury issue, they had chemistry issues early, and then whole injury situation as well didn't help. But when you look into that Lakers aspect, I think Lakers season was only possible. I think we never thought they were going to be a number one or number two seed. The max I thought the Lakers were going to be is 6-8, just because LeBron and they filled him up with nothing. And LeBron missed a significant amount of time where they really were garbage, right?
Yeah.
They were really garbage in that time. And it's almost fitting to see the Lakers struggle this way just because they tried to, New Orleans Pelicans basically saw what they were going to get from the garbage. And they're like, yeah, we're not trading you Anthony Davis because none of these guys played well. And I still don't understand half the moves that they made with like – the Lance Stevenson, Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, like, and then they trade away Zubac, which was surprising, to be honest with you. He's a really good player. So they've really made some really bad moves. And I think LeBron James, as good as he is, as great he is, like, he relies on shooters. He does really well with passing the ball. He's not a scorer. He's a team player. So you need to surround him with good players, like decent players.
Yeah.
So it's been unfortunate for the Lakers. I don't know what the future is for these guys. I also think like it's funny because D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle are having good seasons, statistically wise, right?
So yeah, I mean, even like impact wise, I think
D'Angelo Russell is having a really good season. Julius Randle, obviously, he's playing decent in New Orleans and everything, but it's pretty funny to see that they gave up on D'Angelo Russell, and they went for Lonzo Ball, poor guy's been injured for a while. I cannot believe they were missing Lonzo Ball's defense.
Yeah, he's out for the season, and Ingram is out for the season, which makes me feel like LeBron may not even travel on this East Coast trip that's coming up. They have four games.
Yeah, he'll come to Toronto.
You think so? I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's
going to play.
He wants to hang out with Drake or something.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think the Lakers have been the most disappointing. Obviously, if you watch ESPN, you would think that they are the worst franchise ever because that's what they want to talk about. But to me, the worst franchise this season has been the Phoenix Suns. I cannot give any love to this franchise. They've been so bad for so long. And any franchise that has a crappy owner, to me, gets the worst franchise of the year award.
Is this based on the Zach Lowe, Kevin Arnovitz article you read?
I mean, I read it, but I always think the worst, like if you have a bad owner, so any team that has a bad owner, I just feel bad for that fan base because you can fire the GM, you can fire the president, you can get rid of players, but you can't get rid of an owner. You can't get rid of Sarver there. You can't get rid of Eugene Melnyk in Ottawa for the Senators.
Sure. I know James Dolan too.
You can't get rid of James Dolan. You can't get rid of Dan Gilbert in Cleveland. You can't get rid of Jeffrey Loria and the Miami Marlins. Like these are just bad owners. And the teams have been perpetually bad. Like, Dan Gilbert's a terrible owner. The only reason he had LeBron James is because of geography. It's because LeBron James was born near the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, that's it. It's nothing to do with the franchise and how well it's been run.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with it. I think that's the unfortunate. And that's why sometimes we think the Raptors are kind of fortunate because we actually have, like, it's a different ownership structure.
Well, yeah, it's a corporation, right?
Corporation. Larry Tannenbaum owns 25% of that, but it's a different ownership structure. They're not involved. You don't hear them involved at all. So
yeah, it's okay. Bell and Rogers.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do some take that for data. Your turn this week, Talib.
My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. Take that for data. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Explain it.
All right, so I'm going to do a quick take that for data. And basically, online, we've been seeing a lot of stuff that the Marc Gasol numbers trade has not worked out for us. Everyone's like, Gasol's been averaging low points. Is he really good? If you look at it more of a statistically wise, like if you're not watching the game and you just see Gasol's numbers, yeah, I think Gasol's numbers are all down, you know? So since the Gasol trade, the Raptors have been 8-3, right? Not bad. Now, you've got to understand, he played 33 minutes a game in Memphis, averaging 15 points, 9 boards, and 4 assists. Great numbers. With the Raptors, he's sharing minutes. So he's getting 23 minutes a game, but averaging 9.6 boards and 3.3 assists. Now, these numbers are significant down, but they're not that bad in that sense because what they're saying, he's playing less. Second thing, the Raptors, since February 8th, since the trade, are second in the league in three-point percentage. I would not have guessed this, but this is actually true. We're at 39.6 three-point percentage, and a lot of the reason for that is not Gasol shooting three-pointers. It's because of the spacing Gasol provides. Gasol attracts defenders, is able to make that quick pass, the secondary pass even, to create that a better shot, right? And we're also third in the league in 28 assists a game. So all these things are really good. For example, the first in three-point shooting since February 8th has been Detroit. So that's why I think Detroit's been like on fire. Rebounding is 15th, right? So this is an issue here because having Gasol in there has not solved their rebounding problem because JV is a better rebounder at the moment. He was getting more boards in that sense. But what's happening is that this is going to be an issue going against Milwaukee because Milwaukee hauls down 52 rebounds a game. We haul down 45. So we're going to have issues with this in the postseason if we face a team that's really focused on rebounding. Milwaukee is pretty high up there, right? So another thing about Gasol is you've got to understand he went from the slowest offense in the league. Memphis is the slowest offense in the league. They average 96 possessions a game. That's like slow as hell. The Raptors are at 105. So we're in the middle at the moment. So to have a player adjust his game to that offense is pretty incredible. That's what I'm saying.
I think our bench plays slower than the starters do a little bit, but you're right. It's significantly different than
it is
than Memphis. Yeah.
Right? So it's one of the crazy things. And I think he doesn't go to the line as often as JV. So our free throws are down. That's fine. But I think overall, when you look at the numbers wise, the biggest one that I get to them is obviously 3-point shooting's up, assists are up. Gasol's contributing to that by creating that spacing. And we're also third in the league in field goal to assist ratio at 68% since February 8th. What that means is most of our field goals, 68% of our field goals are assisted ones. And Gasol has an instrumental impact because you see him getting secondary passes and regular assists throughout the game. He's passing the offense, making sure the cutting and everything's really well. So overall, I think this is a great trade for the Raptors so far. Numbers-wise, financially, we already discussed that for the Gasol trade. I think it's a great one. But so far, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. He doesn't need, we don't need him to average 15, 20 points a game. We really don't. We need him to be a threat with the ball in his hand to pass out and attract that defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, this is, as soon as the trade happened, it kind of felt like one of those fantasy trades where you're like, oh, I have a lot of points on my team, but I need more assists, you know, so I'm going to give up some points and rebounds for some assists. Kind of feels like that, you know, where they know they gave up JV, who's probably a better finisher and definitely a little bit better of a rebounder, but they gave it up for better playmaking and probably, and then obviously there's intangibles like, you know, IQ and things like that, that come with Gasol being 34. But no, I think it's a great trade. It's a good, good way to look at his impact through 11 games. I think I saw you talking to somebody on Instagram about this.
Yeah, I think it was actually that. I think the biggest thing is that his defense, right? Memphis allowed 41 points in the paint. That's the best in the league. They're pretty good about it. And the big reason is Gasol. Now, you know who's one of the top 10, one of the top top teams who dominate the points in the paint? The Milwaukee Bucks. So if you think about this, this is a really good thing because having Gasol being in the paint and creating that spacing or creating that blockage for someone like Giannis or someone coming in adds a little bit of pressure on them. I'm not saying you can stop Giannis because we all know Giannis is a freaking beast. He's incredible. So, but this adds a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah. So just so everybody's aware, Talib's biggest issue in life right now is how we're going to defeat the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs.
I have more that part like scares me. I think Milwaukee Bucks is the most scariest team in the NBA, and I think they're better than Golden State Warriors.
Oh, in the playoffs, I don't know.
I don't know about playoffs. Right? Watching them play, man, this is a different ball game. They lost against San Antonio today, but that's an off game. But watching them just dominate the game, it's pretty incredible to see.
Your cousin is from Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see his perspective on. Season.
I've already told them that the Raptors play Milwaukee. It's going to be very hard for me to control my emotions. Right.
I think we'll have to invite him onto the pod, and he can get the Milwaukee side of a possible. Yeah,
this was when Raptors played Milwaukee, and Matthew Dellavedova, whatever that is, used to be a piss off, and you're like, "What the hell? Get out of this! I hate this player."
Yeah, he's gone now. He's back to Cleveland. All right, let's do some predictions for the week. We got three games this week. Toronto at Cleveland. It's a back-to-back, so it's tomorrow. It's the second half of the back-to-back. The Lakers come into town on Thursday, and then Toronto goes to Detroit, as will you and I be in Detroit that day. I think we're going to go 3-0 this week. I don't actually know if LeBron's going to play on Thursday because he's... They shut down Ingram. They shut down Ball. I don't really see a point to him coming on an East Coast trip playing, but maybe he will so he doesn't get fined. I don't know. But now he's on limited minutes. He only played 28 minutes last night, so we'll see. But I still think it's a 3-0 week. What about you?
I think it's a 2-1 week. I think Toronto, Cleveland, we win that one tomorrow. I think Kawhi is going to play tomorrow. So happy low management today. Again, Sunday, we didn't play.
Yeah.
LA Lakers at Toronto. I think LeBron's gonna play. It's gonna be a big one, and I think the Raptors are gonna win this one pretty easily. But LeBron will play. He'll play like 25 minutes. One of the things, it's OVO night, so I think it's all like politics. Half the stuff is gonna be kind of play for Drake. Toronto, I think we're gonna lose, just because I think it's gonna be a load management night.
You think that it's gonna be Kawhi's gonna sit that day?
Man, the last three Sundays, he sat down.
I know, right? I know. And you know what the other thing is? I think there's a possibility that if you look at kind of the load management schedule so far, they've been sitting him against teams that they could possibly play in the first round.
Yeah, which is fair.
And so they maybe don't want to show him. Yeah, they don't want to show him. So obviously Detroit right now is in the sixth seed, so it's a possibility to play them in the first round. So you're right. It could be a load management day. We'll see. In any case, I think it'll be a fun game because the Raptor fans go crazy in Detroit. It'd be pretty funny to like go 0-3 against Detroit and then kick their ass in the playoffs.
I don't want to go 0-3, but it would be nice to beat them. The Dwayne Casey, what he said, Casey made this comment recently. What he said, it was like Detroit feels like a storied franchise. The fans here know all about winning, unlike Toronto. In my back of my head, I'm like, man, this guy was Raptors coach for 8 seasons, the longest Raptors coach in history, and he's taking shots and not winning a championship. The joke's on him.
Yeah, I don't know. KC needs to chill. Like, I get DeMar's beef. KC, man, you got a brand new contract. That's huge. Huge. Like, he got like a $25, $30 million contract over 5-6 years. Like, that's, he's a top tier coach now. And so, you know, like, as much as you want to hate on it, you still got a bunch of money from another franchise, which you wouldn't have got from Toronto. They would have not given him that length, just renewing him, right? So, I think he needs to be quiet on these little shots, you know? So,
absolutely.
Anything else, Salib?
No, nothing else. Nothing is, also highlight, we had Luke Bamamute like our post on Instagram. Highlight of the week. Freaking incredible.
His actual account.
Yeah, liked it was us. Actual Luke Bamamute. He liked the disaster draft one. What a morbid man.
Yeah, the disaster draft. So follow us on the Untitled Raptors Pod on Instagram. You know, send us a message there and let us know what you want to hear us talk about or just argue with Talib on Instagram about the Raptors. Next week's episode, we will be taping on Monday night because, as I mentioned, me and Talib are going to go to Detroit. Hopefully, we'll have some cool insights into like going there and hearing some chants and hanging out with other Raptor fans. But because we're going to come back really late on Sunday night, we do not want to tape an episode. So yeah, we'll be taping on Monday. Yeah, Talib's driving too, so he's going to be exhausted. So we'll be taping on Monday. So look out for that. Yeah, that's it. So follow us, rate, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Anything else, Al?
No, that's it, man. Appreciate it. All right. See you guys next week.
All right. See you guys.